We had to run across the meadow. Cord had left her big tool harness behind at the machine hall, only to reveal a smaller vest-like one that I guessed held the stuff she'd not be without under any circumstances. When we broke into a run, she clanked and jounced for a few paces until she cinched down some straps, and then she was able to keep pace with us as we rushed through the clover. Our meadow had been colonized by seculars who were having midday picnics. Some were even grilling meat. They watched us run by as if our being late were a performance for their amusement. Children were chivvied forward for a better view. Adults trained spielecaptors on us and laughed out loud to see us caring so much. We came in the meadow door, ran upstairs into a wardroom where stacks of dusty pews and altars were shoved against the walls, and nearly tripped over Leo and Archibald. Leo was sitting on the floor with his legs doubled under him. Archibald sat on a short bench, knees far apart, leaning forward so that the blood streaming from his nostrils would puddle neatly on the floor. Leo's lip was puffy and bleeding. The flesh around his left eye was ochre, suggesting it would be black tomorrow. He was staring into a dim corner of the room. Archibald let out a shuddering moan as if he had been sobbing, and was just now managing it. "Fight?" I asked. Leo nodded. "Between the two of you, or—" Leo shook his head.
"We were set upon,"
Archibald proclaimed, shouting at his blood puddle.
"Intra or extra?"
Jezri demanded.
"Extra muros. We were en route to my pater's basilica. I wished only to learn whether he would speak to me. A vehicle drove by once, twice, thrice. It circled us like a lowering raptor. Four men emerged. One had his arm in a sling. He looked on and cheered the other three."
Jezri and I both looked at Leo, who took our meaning immediately.
"Useless. Useless," he said.
"What was useless?" Cord asked. The sound of her voice caused Archibald to look up. Leo was not the sort to care that we had a visitor, but he did answer her question.
"My vlore. All of the Vale lore I have ever studied."
"It can't have been that bad," Jezri exclaimed. Which was funny, since over the years, no one had been more persistent than Jezri in telling Leo how useless his vlore was. By way of an answer, Leo rolled to his feet, glided over, grasped the edge of Jessery's hood, and yanked it down. Not only was Jezri now blind, but because of how the bolt was wound around his body, it interfered with his arms and made it surprisingly difficult for him to expose his face again. Leo gave him the tiniest of nudges, and he lost his balance so badly that I had to hug him and force him upright.
"That's what they did to you?" I asked.
Leo nodded. "Tilt your head back, not forward," Cord was saying to Archibald. "There's a vein up here." She pointed to the bridge of her nose. "Pinch it. That's right. My name is Cord. I am a Sib of Erasmus."
"Enchanted,"
Archibald said in a nasal tone now that he was pinching his nose.
"I am Archibald, bastard of the local Bayesian archprelate, if you can believe such a thing."
"The bleeding is slowing down, I think," Cord said. From one of her pockets, she had drawn out a pair of purple wads which unfolded to gloves of some stretchy, membranous stuff. She wiggled her hands into them. I was baffled for a few moments, then realized that this was a precaution against infection, something I never would have thought of.
"Fortunately, my blood supply is simply enormous because of my size,"
Archibald pointed out.
"Otherwise, I fear I should exsanguinate."
Some of Cord's pockets were narrow and tall and ranked in neat rows. From two of these, she drew out blunt plugs of white fibrous stuff about the size of her little finger, with strings trailing from them.
"What on earth are those?"
Archibald wanted to know. "Bloodsucker uppers," Cord said. "One for each nostril, if you would like." She gave them over into Archibald's gory hands and watched, a little bit nervous and a little bit fascinated, as Archibald gingerly put them in. Leo, Jezri, and I looked on, speechless.